This is a free recording by Cambridge Cookbooks, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم تخرج كلمة من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصيهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعف له أضعافا كثيرة والله يقبض ويبسط ثم إليه ترجعون صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, who is it that will lend to Allah a goodly loan so that he will repay it many, many fold? And Allah constricts and he expands, and then in the end to him you will be brought back. This is an ayah that is one of those ayats that certainly cannot be interpreted ala zahiriha, according to its outward explicit meaning. Because a loan, in the usual meaning of a qard or a loan in any language, is somebody needs something from you and you are lending something to them. And in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is al-ghani, that can't be the nature of the transaction. Just as when we give something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or make a sacrifice for him, or obey him, it's not like doing those things to any of his makhluqat, any of his creatures, because that always implies that you're doing them a service, that you're helping them out, you're doing them a good turn, and Allah is always ghaniyun anil alameen, independent of the world. Instead, what it means is that everything that we do, however painful it might seem, every sacrifice that we make, every ta'ah, every obedience, every pleasure that we forego, every penny that we donate, all of that is actually something that we will see again, that will be returned to us. It is a loan. Every gift to Allah is actually a loan, and very soon it will be repaid for the mu'mineen. So when we say, for instance, ambitiously, arrogantly, I've given my life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't really mean that. What we really mean is we have offered him very little for a very short time. And then, in his fadl, in his grace, he has promised to give it back again manyfold, adhafan kathira, beyond the wildest dreams of Wall Street and the hedge funds and the future managers and the world of turbo capitalism. Allah yarzuqu, he provides bighayri hisab, without reckoning. What he gives is out of all conceivable calculated relation to what we do for him. So he uses this language of a little loan. Who could object to that if you're sure to get it back? And then look at the words that are used. Wallahu yaqbidu wa yabsut. Allah holds back and he opens his hand. Qabd and Bast. These are two of his names. Al-Qabid wal-Basit, in the usual lists of Al-Asma, Al-Husna. Al-Qabid is the one who constrains, who squeezes, who holds tight. Wal-Ardu jami'an qabadatuhu Yom al-Qiyamah, the whole world will be in his fist, in his right hand, on the Yom al-Qiyamah. That is his Qabdah. But also he is the one who is al-Basit, the one who opens his hand in generosity. Yabsutu rizqa liman yasha. He holds out and expands rizq for whoever he wants. And this is his nature in creation, constantly to be Qabid and Basit. And our experience of the world is always that sometimes it holds things from us by his decree, sometimes it offers us so much by his decree, and we kind of wander from Qabd to Basit and back to Qabd again, and that seems to be the human condition. Now, these two names also reflect states that we can be in. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his pre-eternal decree withholds certain things from us. It might be health, it might be money, it might be children, it might be life itself. So also he gives us certain things, and we have no control over that process at all, and we find ourselves also to be in a state of qabd or bast. And we all know that. Even irreligious people know that sometimes they are elated and sometimes they are depressed. That is part of the human condition. It's very unusual for us to be emotionally on an even keel. In a single day we have highs and lows. We have good times, we have bad times. It seems to be woven into the fabric of the cosmos. The seasons even recall it. The winter makes us shiver and come in and pull ourselves in upon ourselves and pull our coats around us. And we shiver and shudder. And the summertime, it's the opposite. We want to feel inshirah, openness of our hearts, because springtime is here. That's just the nature of creation. Sometimes in a state of qabd, sometimes in a state of basit. And these are two, for the believer, two states that are high states, although not the highest of states, but they are natural to the human condition and part of the fitrah. They are, as it were, the spiritual extension of the principles of khawf and raja, fear and hope. Sometimes we're very fearful, we're afraid of things that might befall us. Sometimes we're very hopeful, and we're looking forward to what might come next. In some human situations more than in others, and in great life-changing situations, that can be the case. Teetering on the bridge, on the brink of a marriage, for instance, we can be really afraid, but we can also be really exhilarated. And those two states can follow each other with extraordinary rapidity. Similarly, in conditions of warfare, what is more fearful than the threat of being occupied by a merciless enemy? That really sets us into a state of qabd like nothing else. But what brings us more joy and exhilaration than the knowledge of victory and the ending of that threat? 65 years ago, VE Day, that was probably the happiest day, the day of greatest bust in British history in the last 100 years and perhaps longer, because people felt this extraordinary inshirah, this openness of heart, that they had had victory. This is the human condition. We are constantly moving between those two things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds an interesting principle for this. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ. One of the places in the Qur'an where he uses this concept of qabd, of compression or squeezing or holding tight. Have they not seen above them the bird with wings spread out and then drawing their wings in? That's how a bird flies. The bird flies by flapping its wings. Every bird needs to do that or it can't get anywhere. And our situation is like that as well. Sometimes we are expansive. It's springtime, everything is great, we have our health, breathe deeply, everything is wonderful. We are in this state of tarah. And sometimes things seem to be under a permanent cloud. We are depressed sometimes, even dangerously depressed. That's our experience. We're like birds, the wings flap, and that's what carries us forward. And without that succession of happiness and unhappiness, human life would not be anything like the rich and difficult and rewarding thing that it is. Because one of the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creation is that we only experience the joyfulness of our moments of joy when we remember our recent sadness. It's hard to imagine, for instance, the joy of victory in this country in 1945 and the intensity of that, but for the fear that everybody had felt only a year or two previously. So even the qabd, even the restriction, has a blessing insofar as it can lead to the fulfillment and the completion of Austerlitz, of Boston. It's like Hulf and Roger again. They have to be in balance. And that's where the issue of belief comes in, keeping these two things in balance. One of the great imams used to say, Al-Khawf wa Raja ka janahi at-ta'ir ila istawaya istawa tayaran. Fear and hope are like the two wings of a bird, and if they are in balance, the bird will fly soundly on an even keel. And that one of the senses of which is that if one wing is working harder than the other wing, for us, if there's more khawf than rajah, or more rajah than khawf, our lives are going to be unbalanced and unhealthy things. But looking at the metaphor from the Quran, perhaps it also means that as you reach out with your wings and as you contract your wings, those two things have to be in balance. That's why the ulama say, al-qabdu ala hasabil bast, that our states of restriction are in proportion to the states of expansion. That is in the state of the normal, fitri human being. We mustn't think that it is somehow a challenge to Allah's decree, or a weakness in our iman. If quite often we do feel down, we feel depressed. At the moment, perhaps we're in a state of qabd because the party's over and the exam's looming. We can feel trapped, not much we can do about it. But to be occasionally under a cloud is a normal part of the human condition. We shouldn't feel, oh, this is a lack of tawakkul. Because this was the state of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about that beautiful surah, Al-Inshiraf, Alam nashrah laka sadrak? Have we not expanded your breast? After the difficult times that you've been in, and then at the end, Inna ma'al usri yusra. Truly with hardship comes ease. After a difficult time, there's bound to be a time coming when things are easier. And that's just sunnatullahi fi khalqi, the way in which Allah has set things up. That's human life. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ لِمَا يَقُولُونَ. The Holy Prophet ﷺ is told in many verses, we know that your heart is constrained because of what they're saying. Because of what Abu Lahab and Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl and the others are saying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saying about Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and saying about the Qur'an, and saying about everything that he held to be true and good and pure, they were just laughing at it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles him. But the state itself is a legitimate state. To be sometimes constricted, to be maqbool, is part of the human condition, and this is normal. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam says, وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِ وَلَا يَنْطَلِقُ لِسَانِي فَأَرْسِلْ إِلَىٰ هَارُونَ. He's saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَضِيقُ صَدْرِ, my heart is constrained, it's narrow, it's tight. وَلَا يَنْطَلِقُ لِسَانِي, and I'm not really very good, very fluent in speaking. So he asks for Harun alayhi salam to be his supporter. Even the Anbiya, even the Prophets, recognize their weakness and their down states and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, this is part of the normalcy of being a believer. The danger and the unbalance is when these two states become unbalanced with each other. So most of the time we're feeling down and only seldom do we cheer up. Or the opposite, which is also dangerous. Because there's this idea of the farah, the joy, which is a kind of exuberance that makes us forget reality. That makes us forget the suffering of others, that makes us forget our own vulnerability, that can make us forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also is condemned in the Quran. إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. He was, speaking of one of the miscreants, somebody who was joyful and proud. This is again, like Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, proud, plutocrats, very pleased with their situation and the whole of Arabia being in their grasp and being proud of themselves and being hard-hearted as a result. And this is the lethal danger of the billionaire on his yacht, who is surrounded by everything his heart could desire and feels superior to everybody else. But he forgets that the final return, which is probably coming soon because most billionaires are probably within spitting distance of death, is certainly coming. Now, this is where we tend to go wrong. happiness is something to which we have a right, and was our condition in Jannah, and was our condition on the day of Alastu bi Rabbikum, and it is in a sense our normal thing. And the final abode is Dar al-Sa'ada, is the home of happiness and felicity, where there will be no grieving and no sorrow ever again. But in this world we have this alternation of times of happiness and times of woe. And the believers in the Qur'an are told to keep this balance. They're told about the lethal dangers of excessive exuberance, of a kind of forgetful billionaire's like overconfidence in their own capacities and in Allah's intentions towards them. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا. Allah gave you victory in many places. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنَ. And on the day of Hunayn, we remember the Battle of Hunayn, which was very nearly a catastrophe for the believers. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ وَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. When your numbers, suddenly the believers had a great army, tens of thousands, pleased you, gave you odj, gave you a certain pride, فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا, that didn't help you at all. And what happened? وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. And the world, despite its breadth, seemed too tight for you, and then you ran away in flight. That's precisely the state of Qabr. Sudden transition between exuberant, excessive farah, and then this consequence of Qabr and fear. And what was the resolution? By the grace of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then Allah sent down His Sakina upon His Messenger and upon the believers. That's the real quality that helps us to keep those two possibilities, the Qabd and the Bast, on an even keel, which is a difficult thing to achieve. For us to have the right proportion of times of concern and times of serene, untroubled happiness. It's the Sakina, and that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very difficult for us to generate. Talk to anybody who's suffering from depression about how hard it is for their GP to get exactly the right dose of antidepressant or Prozac or whatever it is, so that they're not pushed into some other strange state, some odd, unexpected side effect. Every human being's metabolism or psychic state is too difficult for the GP to judge, and usually people are not put back on an even emotional keel by pharmaceutical intervention. It's too subtle a thing. But Allah's Sakina is what can do that. And that is what we really crave. However smart we may be, however good we might think we are at looking at our states and saying, well, I really should cheer up a little bit, or I need to be careful, it's Allah's Sakina, His calmness, His presence, His healing presence, which helps us to keep things in balance and to see things as they truly are. And that is the gift of faith. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whenever Allah wishes to guide somebody, He opens up his breast to Islam. Why don't we use this expression? Why not? He convinces him of the truth of the Aqidah. No, he says, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. He opens up his breast, he opens up his heart to Islam. And that's the feeling that we have when things are fine, when the sun is out, when the birds are singing, when the weather's good, when we've just heard that we've got a new job, whatever it might be. That's the state of bust. And it is Islam that is the fundamental source of this, the deepest sense of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the way in which He has made His creation. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And whoever He wills to mislead, He makes His chest to be tight and agitated, as though He was going up towards the heaven. Interesting image. If you've ever gone hiking at a very great altitude, say over 2,500 meters, you'll know what altitude sickness is, especially at night. You wake up in your tent, and because the lungs haven't been working hard enough, you're tired, you're not getting enough oxygen in your system, and suddenly you wake up in a panic because the system is depleted of oxygen. You breathe very intensely for several minutes and you feel sick. You can be nauseated. A lot of people have had their nice, expensive 3,000-pound trekking holidays in Tibet completely turned into hell by altitude sickness. And this is the expression that seems to be used here. OK, كأنما يصعد في السماء. As though he's going up, there's less oxygen, and the sadr, the chest, is kind of constrained and restricted. And we're not getting enough of that, the nefes, the breath within ourselves. And that is the state of kufr. The state of kufr is the state of qabd that doesn't really have the alternative that is based on raja, hope for Allah's grace and for the gardens. Take a look at the Wikipedia article on happiness. See the interesting things that people have put up there. 50% of happiness, we're told, is genetic. Not an awful lot we can do about that. Some people are just out of luck by Allah's decree, and they just have to work on it as best they can. Other people are just cheerful, happy-go-lucky, carefree types, and that also is part of the way in which Allah has created their metabolism. But the other 50% is stuff that we can work on, and has got a lot to do with the company we keep, because we are osmotic beings. If we're with happy people, we tend to take on board their qualities. If we're with really depressed and down at heel and miserable people, we tend to feel like that. And you can experience that in the Jama'ah, in a mosque. If you go into a mosque where everybody is serene and so happy to be there, and the real sense of Islamic brotherhood, it's a great prayer. You leave the mosque feeling like a king afterwards. You go into a mosque and everybody's looking kind of as if the whole family has died, and the azan sounds like a lament, and everybody's kind of miserable. That's going to affect you. And we need to watch out, because sohbah is an important thing in Islam. If we're worried about our state, look at the people whose company we're keeping, and maybe we can deal with that, maybe we can sort that out. And also, look at the messages that we're sending to other people. Are we cheering them up or depressing them? That's another of our responsibilities. And it's indicated by the hadith that one of the forms of sadaqah is an taliqa akhaka biwajhin taliq, that you meet your brother with a cheerful, smiling, glowing face. There's other factors as well, and one of the things that it mentions in this article is religious faith. A wide variety of forms of religious faith, according to a survey conducted by the Pew Organization, is a major factor in enhancing people's happiness. Religious people are twice as likely to score high on happiness tests, whatever they might exactly be, than atheists. It's just a measurable fact. Why? Because they have this false, the sense that whatever happens is from Allah's decree, and that ultimately, inshallah, by His grace, they will be all right. That's exactly what this ayah is saying. Yashrah sadrahu li Islam. His heart is open to Islam. And the one who is in the state of dalal, misguidance, kufr, radical misunderstanding, is struggling for breath because it's just too much. The world is too threatening, it's too big, he's not going to live very long, he just can't carry it, and it's difficult to stay out of a state of depression. That is one reason why, in a society where there is so much unbelief, there are forms of addiction and attraction to extreme forms of narcotic and also alcoholism. Because what is the condition of the addict? At its basis, it is wild mood swings. He gets his high. He's drunk his bottle of vodka or whatever it is. And then the next day, or a few hours later, he feels like killing himself. He's always on this excessive roller coaster of moments of exuberance and moments of extreme qabd or depression. That's the opposite of how the believer should be. The believer has his highs and has his lows, but they're in balance and they're never excessive because of this sakina that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in his heart. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all, and everybody in this ummah, and everybody in this creation of our Lord, to be people of sakina, to give us this gift of sakina, to give us the gift of iman, and to open up our hearts, because left to our own devices, we are entirely incapable of doing that. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون وأقم الصلاة.